오마기아나 투미란 테스야 기아남 제나샬라카야 착슈르 밀리탐 유네 테스마이 시그르베나마하.
Fundamental principles of material nature. The most fundamental principle of material nature is that nature or shakti is under the control of and is manifested by the Shaktiman, Bhagavan, Krishna. This is the most fundamental principle. And on the basis of that understanding, so many other principles are being explained. Here it's stated that the rivers, the controlling deity of the rivers is also the controlling deity of the nervous system. So we find like that how the universal form and the deities therein are related to this physical body in so many ways. Just like the moon, the controlling deity of the moon is also the controlling deity of the mind. And therefore, it's interesting, in English we have the word lunatic. Lunatic means a crazy person, and it also comes, we also have the word luna, which means of the moon. So a crazy person means someone whose moon is not in proper order. You say in Croatian or Russian, yeah. How do you say? Lunatic. Same word, just slightly different pronunciation. And lunar. So, same, it's from Latin, I suppose, or Greek. So, it's interesting that relationship was recognized even by the so-called primitive people of the past, as nowadays modern scientists working on the empiric method won't agree with that. So many principles are given describing how this material world, how the different facets of it interact with each other, and all this is to help us understand Maya Ghakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharachara Hetunamena Kunteya Jagad Viparivartate. That under Krishna's direction this whole material cosmos is going on. Another reason for understanding these things, it's also good to know and understand, is that this material body, Tadapya Dhruvam Arthadam, yesterday you were quoting that verse, you didn't say it, but you said it, part of it in Gujarati. Does anyone know the beginning of it? You were quoting Prahlad Maharaj. Komara Acharat Pragyod Dharman Bhagavatani Ha. That was the part that you quoted. That from childhood, one should take up Bhagavad Dharma, Krishna consciousness. One who is intelligent, pragya, one who is of fine intelligence. Then, Dharman Bhagavataniha, Durlava Manava Janna, Tadapya Dhruvam Arthadam. That although this material, human life is uncertain, in other words, temporary, it can give the highest benefit. There's something good to be had of it. As Prabhupada used to say, we should make the best use of a bad bargain. Having any material body is not much fun. It's not a good situation to be in. But having attained this human form of life, having attained this human form of life after many, 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 many births, we should take advantage of it, manusham artadam, the same term is used, that this human form of life, it can give something beneficial. It has a purpose. Manusham artadam anityam, even though it's temporary, apiha dhiraha, turanam yate tanapatedanamrityat yava. Nishrayasaya Vishakalu Sarvatasya. An intelligent person knows that anyway I have to die, this body has to die. But before the passing of this body, I should utilize it for attaining the highest benefit that is only available in the human form of life. And as far as sense gratification is concerned, if you think, well, why not have sense gratification? We should consider that that is available in every species of life, but that the opportunity to practice Bhagavad Dharma is generally only available in the human form of life. So this kind of knowledge that one can be relieved from disorder of the nervous system by bathing in a flowing river, this may not seem to be very important compared to understanding the relationship of the soul with Krishna. And actually it's not. However, it is important, this kind of knowledge is important if it's taken in relationship with Krishna consciousness. In other words, one has the human form of life, so we should try to maintain the health of the body so that we can practice Krishna consciousness. It was told to me by, actually not only to me, but told to so many others, Dhananjaya Prabhu, one of the first disciples of Srila Prabhupada, I think the first in Britain, although someone else also claims that distinction. But he said that Prabhupada had said to him, he was living in Vrindavan, one of the first Western devotees to live in Vrindavan. And in those days, mostly our Western devotees in India, those that didn't go back within 4 or 5 days of arriving, they were usually sick most of the time, and many of them, they spent most of their time just trying to remain healthy. That was their main service. So Prabhupada had apparently told Dhananjaya Prabhu that first comes health and then sadhana and service. And actually we can understand that it's very difficult to practice sadhana or do any service if the body is not healthy. So bodily health is certainly an important consideration. If one is not on the level of Madhavendra Puri or Srila Prabhupada, who are fully in Krishna consciousness, even lying on their bed in great difficulty. Apparently in great difficulty, health-wise. But for most of us who are a long way from such a level, then without having good health, it's difficult to be in Krishna consciousness. I was saying that to Sridhar Maharaj shortly before he left our company for the time being, that I'd been sick for most of the year. Of course, that was in March, so it wasn't. For a couple of months, I'd been sick, not very sick. I mean, I didn't have cancer or leprosy or any such thing, just some cough and a fever and associated weakness. And I was saying to him that, well, you've been sick for so many years with much worse sickness than me, so I can appreciate having gone through a couple of months of not very severe sickness, but enough to make life difficult. That's what sickness is for. That's the gift of Maya to help us realize that this material world is miserable. But I was finding it difficult to keep up with my sadhana, to chant in time, to chant with any energy. So it's difficult to maintain a nice level of Krishna consciousness unless the body is sufficiently healthy. So I was appreciating that he went through so many years of great difficulty, health-wise. And still he was in jolly consciousness. He was known as the jolly swami. So the Vedic directions are there for keeping a healthy body What for? Kamasya nindriya priti yavat jivaita yavata. Jivasya tatva jigyasa narata. Narata yas. What is it? Narata che? Narata yas cheha karmadhi. That life's desires should only be for the purpose of self-realization. One should not desire even to live or healthy body, Prabhupada has translated this. Not for sense gratification, but only for inquiry into the Absolute Truth. That should be the goal of all one's work. So the Vedic directions for keeping healthy, they're also important for devotees. This could be moved, actually. They're also important for devotees, as are so many supplementary Vedic sciences. Ayurveda is Upaveda. That means supplementary Vedic science. And there are so many supplementary Vedic sciences. Vastu Shastra has become very popular recently. And there's astrology, all these are helpful. They can be helpful for the human society. And in that regard, they may be helpful for devotees, because devotees are also living in human bodies, in human society. There are so many directions for the organization of society also. Now, it may be said, well, these are extrinsic to Krishna consciousness. They don't constitute the essence of Krishna consciousness. But they are important. They're also shastras. Maybe Upaveda, but it's also shastra that's given by Bhagavan for the betterment of human society. So devotees can take advantage of this, all these various types of knowledge, not becoming distracted by them or overly absorbed in them, but only for the sake of prosecuting Krishna consciousness. For instance, just like Bharat was telling me yesterday, Bharat Das, that he'd been having headaches for so many years, which is undoubtedly a great disturbance in Krishna consciousness, as I also experienced, as I also had headaches for several years. But then by consulting a competent Ayurvedic physician, he found out what is the problem and very simply how to solve it. It's just a question of adjusting a little bit the diet and lifestyle, and then the problem solved. And today I saw Bharat dancing in Kirtan, which I don't remember seeing for a long time. So a little advice from someone who knows, and without spending thousands of dollars on tests and useless treatment, just a little advice from someone who knows, and so much benefit is there. So these sciences were there in human society to help people live their lives. Of course, life lived without Krishna consciousness is ultimately useless, but the whole Vedic culture is meant to lead one to that. So although it's not the profession or the main purpose for devotees to know these things, then just like one of our devotees, he was at medical school. This is in the late 1960s, and then he came in contact with the devotees, and I can't remember whether he asked Prabhupada or whether it was a disciple of Prabhupada. I think he asked Prabhupada that, should I continue with medical school or should I join the movement and become a full-time preacher? And Prabhupada told him, there are so many doctors, but there are not preachers of Krishna consciousness, which is more required. So he joined, giving up his medical studies. So it may not be required for devotees to become astrologers and Ayurvedic physicians, because there are already such persons in society. But they can take advantage of that knowledge. And traditionally in Vedic culture, everyone, in any traditional culture, people had basic knowledge of how to live in such a way as to remain healthy. We'll still find that in India. It's not, people don't consider it Ayurveda as such. They don't consider themselves great physicians or any such thing. But there are basic things that should be known, just like in the winter or if one has a cold, not to eat yogurt. It's a very simple thing. Or there's so many things like that. So many. In Bengal they say this date gur is very delicious. But once the Chaitra Mash begins, then you shouldn't take it because it's very heating, which is good for the winter. But then in Chaitra, as soon as Chaitra Mash begins, then it begins to get hot. And so it's too heating for the body. So one shouldn't take it. So this is common knowledge. In English they say it's grandmother's law. L-O-R-E. Law means knowledge. Grandmother, every grandmother knows this kind of thing. If there's some cut, they immediately, finger is cut, then immediately go to the garden, get some leaf, rub it, and then it stops bleeding. There's so many things. Basic knowledge people used to know. Now living in the cities, if there's some cut, go to the doctor, pay 100 rupees, get some cream, pay another 100 rupees, go every day for dressing, you know, just some small thing. And waste so much time and money. And fill your body with some chemical ingredients also. So there was no need for doctors so much anyway, previously. Because one thing, people lived more sane kind of life, and both mentally and physically, they didn't have so many disorders. Most of the disorders, very nice mouth you have. You think I'm the doctor here, I'm showing your mouth so I can look inside. Please, if you're going to yawn, cover with the hand. This is also the kind of thing that grandmothers used to teach. But nowadays, grandmothers are too busy watching TV, so they don't teach anything now, and they don't know anything now. So what was I saying before I got sidetracked by inspecting Madhav Das's mouth? Grandmother's law, yes. So people didn't need doctors so much. People lived healthy lives, and if there was any minor problem, then they would not didn't need doctors. They weren't in the villages, and there weren't doctors or hospitals or medical institutions or any such things. That if there was any problem, then most things are solved by fasting for 1 or 2 days. And things like a cold, that saying is there that if you go to the doctor and get the medicine, the cold will be finished in 7 days. And if you don't go, and you just tolerate, then it'll be finished in 1 week anyway. So, minor things you just tolerate, that's all. And others, just like rheumatism, arthritis, common things, people know what are the basic cures for that. And there may be some kind, for snake bites, there's some, call the fakir, you'll do some mantras and like this. There's all this kind of village cures in Bengali. Anyone here? Any Bengali? They're not here. There are Bengalis, but they don't come to class. So, fu. We have that in Orissa? Fu. They're curing by fu. They get some mustard oil, say some mantras, rub it on. We have that system in Orissa. In Gujarat also? They must be having, but you're all city boys, so you don't. Yeah, in Orissa like that. I had also one time this very stiff pain in the joint. So this one lady rubbed this mustard oil and then said some mantras, blew on it, finished. I asked, how does that work? I don't know. My mother showed me this, and I don't know how it works. It works. Okay, it works. So, like this, there are so many. Of course, it came back again after some time, but at least it went away. So that basic knowledge was there, and doctors, well, yeah, maybe for the richer people there'd be doctors in the town, or towns, rich people were living in the country also. It wasn't that the rich people were only in the city. The culture was actually the country, because the production is in the country. So the zamindars or whatever, the rajas, they'd be there with their raja. I mean, raja means not necessarily that he's like some samrat, not ruling the whole of India, but he may be the king of 5 or 6 villages. And he'd have the doctor there with him, and then anyone else, if they're serious case, the doctor would, not just for the king's family, but for all others also, he would consult. So that arrangement was there. All arrangements were there in human society. It wasn't that it's only nowadays that we have some arrangements. But previously, human society was going on, and in many ways it was going on much better than it is now. Just like this sickness, people are always sick all the time, because the whole way of life makes you sick. Everything. The air you breathe makes you sick. Air is supposed to make you healthy by breathing. It's supposed to flush the system and purify it. But by breathing the normal air in a city, it contaminates the whole system. So it's just the opposite. Just by breathing one should get healthy. But then nowadays by breathing it makes you sick. And like that, water. You can't even get decent water to drink. It's very difficult to get water that is good for drinking. I mean, you can buy this plastic bottled water, but that's also horrible. So modern life makes everyone disturbed and sick, mentally disturbed. Practically, I don't know. Is it only the people that I come in contact with, or is it everyone seems to be mentally disturbed one way, this way, that way, the other? The whole society makes people mad, because the whole setup is mad. The whole setup: work hard, get money, marriage, that no one should get married until they have a double PhD or something like this. And then the girls especially are suffering so much, boys also. And then they're having relationships, because that's what they say on TV. So the whole society is completely insane. The Vedic system is giving nice directions how we can live in human society, live a healthy life without any great strain. Nowadays, what people think is normal health is substandard. Health means that, just like previously, people they would think nothing of walking 20 kilometers carrying a big basket on their head. But nowadays no one can do that. All the farmers, they have, everything is electrified, and they have water supply, and no one's capable of doing, no one wants to do physical work, no one's capable, and naturally they're all sick. So what we consider normal health in modern life is if we're not very sick. That's considered good health. No one knows what it is. In the modern society, no one knows what is good health practically. So it's a very horrible situation, to which the ultimate cure is Haram Nama, Haram Nama, Haram Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalona Asteva Nasteva Nasteva Gatira Nyata. Propagating Krishna consciousness. And that's also not so easy when everyone's crazy and sick, and you know, you're chanting Hare Krishna, but crazy and physically incapable and so many things. So even to get people to chant Hare Krishna, that's not so easy. And then to chant Hare Krishna and fully accept Krishna consciousness and not go off in their own direction with their own ideas and actually fully surrender to Krishna, it's not so easy. So it's a difficult age, no doubt. But Prabhupada had a great dream Prabhupada had a great dream, means that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. Priti vite ache jato nagaradi gram sapatya pacha hoibe morna. There should be a golden age within the Kali Yuga, within the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, this dark iron age. There should be a golden age which is brought in by the chanting of Hare Krishna. But that golden age doesn't mean that people will be working in nasty factories and mines and air-conditioned offices, neon lights, and chanting Hare Krishna. The golden age means this Kali Yuga culture, that also has to go if it's going to be actually, if there's actually going to be Krishna consciousness in society. Because the modern demoniac way of life doesn't go very well with Krishna consciousness. At the present time, our Krishna conscious movement is more or less trying to become part of modern society or cater to the needs of people in modern life. But we find that even people become devotees, they're doing some job in this demoniac corporate culture, which they're even often as devotees, they're foolishly proud to be part of. Oh, I'm working for such and such international company. See, I'm a more qualified devotee than all the others because I'm getting 25,000 rupees a month working for some beef eaters in America. So catering for this, we're trying to cater to that modern way of life, but that modern culture, it inculcates demoniac tendencies. So even if we become devotees, then we'll find it's very difficult to make our children devotees because we want them to be half demon and half devotee. They should go to school, learn about Darwin's theory, get in the rat race, get a good degree, get a good job, and earn lots of money. By earning lots of money means you kick others down and push yourself up. That's the only way. And at the same time, you're going to be a devotee. But it doesn't work because you can't be a demon and be a devotee. So Prabhupada, he was very much wanting to introduce Vedic culture, and Vedic culture not simply giving things with your right hand. There's a lot more to it than that. The whole way of life. So that's a great challenge for the Krishna conscious movement. That the whole way of life, the whole social organization, the means of income, living on the land, producing our own food, the method of education, not this Montessori or any such thing, but the method of education is Brahmachari Gurukule Vasan Danta Guru Hitam Dasavana Acharan Nicho Sudrida Guru Sohridam. Gurukul education. Gurukul education doesn't mean that we put the sign Gurukul on the door and then teach them all nonsense. Gurukul means they have to study Shastra under Guru. And Dasavanacharan Nicho, character training. Nowadays it's all about character training. Character training means the young boys, they should be like slaves. Prabhupada used that word. Dasava. Just like this. Menial servant under the guidance of a competent acharya. They should submit. That is character training. Not some Kavi's theory or get the latest management book. It's all. There might be something of value in that, but compared to the Vedic knowledge, it is laghu, not guru. It is light. And not only that, but it will be mixed with so many misconceptions. Just like I saw one book of Stephen Covey, who is the greatest of the management gurus of the modern age. I saw it in, where else would you think, in an ISKCON Temple President's office. So I had a quick look at it, and he had in there the qualifications of a perfect person. not according to Narad Muni in the Bhagavatam, but according to Stephen Covey. So he had a list of all the qualities. So quite good, you know, punctuality, you know, consideration on this. And one of them was, he does not become the disciple of anybody. But our Vedic culture means that you have to be a disciple. You're not considered a human being, you're not considered a cultured human being unless and until you become a disciple. This, Yajnopavita, this is the sign, of course it may indicate so many things, but the most basic things that it indicates is that I am a disciple. Nowadays that they have this Upanayanam, and it's just a social show. Usually nowadays they do it just along with the marriage, because you're supposed to have Upanayanam before marriage, and saves money to do it, instead of having two functions, have one function. But actually the thing is, he's supposed to have Upanayanam, and that means he goes to study as a brahmachari, and when his brahmachari period is over, then he comes home and gets married. So that's why one is supposed to have Upanayanam before marriage. It's not just Upanayanam, you stick a thread on your shoulder, but you're supposed to be trained in shastra, in behavior. Then only you're fit to be married. You're not fit to be married otherwise, unless among Shudras, all right. But among Vaishyas, they also have some brahmacharya training, and Kshatriyas, and especially Brahmanakas, they have rigid training. Then only they're fit to be married. But nowadays, oh, he has to get married. Did he have his Upanayanam yet? No. Okay, do it all together. And who's the guru? Just like someone was telling me, you know, someone was telling me they were initiated in Gauriya Math. And I said, by who? And, well, couldn't remember. You know, it's one of those, you walk in, and you walk in just to visit, and you walk out, initiate. And what was the guru's name? Well, I can't quite remember. So it's all meaningless. This Vedic culture is so serious. It's meant for attaining the ultimate goal of life. How seriously the guru-disciple relationship is meant to be taken. Chokudana Diloje, Janme Janme Prabhu Se, who has given me the gift of vision. He is my Lord, birth after birth. That's how seriously this has to be taken. Sakshad Haridvena Samasta Shastra Uttasta Kavadhyata Evasa. The Guru is considered as good as God. But nowadays, I didn't get initiated. I'm still bhakti so much. I should get initiated. Okay. That Guru gives initiation. You just walk, okay, great. I'm going to go and get it. Never mind all this study, get ready, understand what it is. I'm initiated. I had a walk-in initiation. Just like they have this drive-in car wash. They didn't get that in India yet. They didn't get their technology together yet. But in the West, you drive in. You have in India also? You drive in. You have to remember to close the windows of your car. And then there's a machine which covers the car, and then 5 minutes later you drive out, washed. Pay, I don't know, $5 or something. So like that, or McDonald's, drive in. You drive into McDonald's, and then you just, I don't know what they do, and then they drive out with their pizza, and they're eating it as they're going along, which is illegal. So like that, walking initiation. Great, got initiation, finished. But what is the meaning? One is supposed to surrender, understand what it means, dedicate one's life. But we take it so cheaply. Ao ao jo dikshit nahi ho, aa jao maharaj abhi diksha dete hain. Jo bhi mantra bolna hai to usi mantra mein dikshit ho sakte hain. You understand what that means? Come everyone who's not initiated. Maharaj is giving initiation. Whatever mantra you're already chanting, you can be initiated in that mantra. You do Ganesh mantra? Okay. You like Ganesh? Ganesh mantra. You like Vishnu? Vishnu mantra. You like Sai Baba? I won't give him because he's my competitor. But but all this Ganesh and Vishnu, we never see them, so we're not worried about competition from them. So very cheaply they're taking it. What is this very deep Vedic culture? If this Vedic culture had been properly preached, this Sai Baba wouldn't be, he wouldn't even be able to make a pig a disciple. The people wouldn't allow him. But instead he's making the people into pigs, next line. So these people couldn't flourish if there was any Vedic culture. Everything back to front, upside down. Now, previously they used to think that it was, we cannot send our children to the school for education, Western schools. And then they started sending. Education means they should surrender to a guru, then the Western education. And then they started sending girls, which was considered, previously it was considered a great insult. That if you're sending a girl to a school, that means you want her to get a job and work. How can that be? That's, the man, it's his duty to support the family. If he can't, if he has to send his wife to work, it's a great insult. Only like the fishermen and the women who sit in the market and sell vegetables, or they may go to work in public, but no respectable person. But now they can't even get married unless they have a degree, because it's considered, it's not respectable unless, it's not good enough if they don't have a degree. So they should go to school and then college and then maybe have a couple of abortions on the way in Vidyanagar, quite likely. Looks like that. I mean, you can imagine what they're doing in private if you see what they're doing in public. So abortion clinics are flourishing. It's a good business. They're improving the economy by promoting free mixing. It's good for the doctors. So the whole society has changed, and their thing is very good. I remember once on the I met one man who was a life member then. He was telling me very proudly that my daughter is a film actress in Bombay. Very proud. I think she was quite famous. Patil, the name was, something like that. It was maybe, it was 20 years ago. He's living in Bangkok and telling me, oh, my daughter is a film actress. And you should be ashamed. He's very proud. So how the whole culture is spoiled. So our Krishna conscious movement is meant for giving this real knowledge to humans to say that, and also Jai Damodar was telling me yesterday that he's thinking, well, he's reading Mahabharata, he's realizing bhakti is such a high thing. From reading Mahabharata you can begin to understand what it means to be a human being. People don't know what it is to be a human being. Mahabharata gives direction how to live in human society. What are the qualities of a human being? How we should live. How we should conduct our lives. How noble are the great personalities described in Mahabharata and Ramayana. But nowadays we want to live as rakshasas and have bhakti. So it doesn't work. It won't work. It cannot work. It's the real challenge of our movement is to revive this Vedic culture. Without which, what are our choices? That we preach and a few people come through, they manage to follow their vows, but often we see that people, they're devoted, they join the temple as a brahmachari, maybe they want to get married and they find it's very difficult to maintain after being in that association. So there are very few who can make it as brahmacharis anyway. And then most people are not brahmacharis, and then always there's some disturbance in family life, that something happens. Something happens, the relatives come, and then you have to look after them. It's very difficult to keep up with your sadhana. Or there's so many problems, the baby's health, and it takes up all your time. Very difficult to keep up sadhana. or so much work you have to do, you're under so much pressure, very difficult to keep up sadhana, or there's some disturbance in the family, some member of the family is misbehaving or something, and then your mind is totally disturbed and there's no proper association. Very difficult to keep up sadhana. So our movement is faced with a situation that either we, in our preaching, that we're trying to make devotees, so we only accept very few who come up to a high standard, or we bring the standard down, that we just initiate anyone, whether they're following properly or not, and okay, just give them initiation. Somehow or other, we have to show that we're doing something. So, and then if we're talking about very high standards, then maybe, or well, not high standards, it's not actually high standards, but what if we preach just the normal standards that Prabhupada preached, which is the minimum standard, then people think that's a very high standard. And if we preach anything less, then it all becomes just a mishmash. Hodgepodge is the common word in India. Mishmash is it's another term, which means more or less the same thing. So it just becomes a big hodgepodge. Let anyone come, any way they're doing some service, so it doesn't matter if they're stealing or talking, preaching nonsense, any way they're doing some service, let it. At least something's going on. A blind uncle is better than none. That's the excuse. So either then we just make our Krishna conscious movement watered down, in which case no one actually advances. It's very difficult, and it becomes more difficult to advance, because the society which is meant for promoting Krishna consciousness is promoting some watered down version in which anything goes, and then those who are serious to advancing Krishna consciousness, they don't want to stay, because they find that the whole society is going on in the name of Prabhupada, but it's not following Prabhupada. So that's another possible scenario. Or what we can do, which is also very difficult, but it's what Prabhupada asked us to do, is to attempt to establish this Vedic culture with land-based communities, in which we have our own communities based on Krishna consciousness, in which people can live, householders can live together and work cooperatively on the land, living a very simple life and helping each other to advance in Krishna consciousness. The problem is that people, you know, they want to be Krishna conscious and have their apartment building and their AC or at least electric fan and mixi and two-wheeler, if not a four-wheeler. They want all the comforts of modern life. If you want the comfort of life, then you have to accept the discomfort also. You have to work like an ass in bad association so that you can go home and get a few hours rest underneath a fan so that you can go back and work hard again the next day. So devotees are going to... We can cater to them. And then, of course, because it's too difficult for people to be very Krishna conscious in that situation, so what's the use of preaching that to them anyway? Just tell them some nice stories about Krishna and the gopis and some nice stories, and they like to hear that. And then they'll give donations, they're earning money, and they'll give donations, and we can run on the temple. So this way we cater to the, not really to people's actual need, which is to surrender to Krishna, but to their half Krishna consciousness, or cheating approach to Krishna consciousness, in which they don't like to say or think that, well, actually, I'm not following properly. Everyone likes to think, bhalo ami, boro ami. Everyone likes to think, I am good, I am great. So then everyone comes, yes, you are good, you are great. Oh, yes, I am good, I am great, very good. So it becomes a mutual flattery society and cheating, and no one becomes Krishna conscious. But somehow or other we have to keep up a show of being Krishna conscious. That's what happens if we don't... That it seems inevitable if we don't take up this formula of establishing Vedic culture. If we don't work on the template of Vedic culture, then we have to work on the template of demoniac culture. But from the template of demoniac culture, what's a simple English word? Substrata, or the basis. The basis. If the basis is modern culture, then modern culture produces demons. So it's very difficult not to be a demon, or if even if we somehow or other we can take up Krishna consciousness. Again, our children, mostly, they're not going to be devotees. If we bring them up in kami life, then they're going to be kamis. It's because that the influence of lust, greed and anger, which are strongly promoted in modern demoniac society, we can't expect our children to not be influenced by that. There are great yogis who try not to be influenced by that, and even then they find it difficult. So if we send our children to be educated in lust, anger and greed, then how can we expect them not to be influenced by that? Certainly they can. So we have a great, tremendous responsibility to fulfill the plan given to us by Prabhupada of establishing a Krishna-conscious society with Krishna-conscious education, Krishna-conscious way of life. Tremendous responsibility. So in some ways it may seem that our movement is doing well, and of course many people are taking up Krishna-consciousness, and that's good. But again, we see that most people who take up Krishna consciousness, even most who get initiated, even if they're serious, that often they become victim of circumstances and they're not able to maintain at a very high level their Krishna consciousness. So we have this great responsibility to establish Krishna-conscious community based on simple living and high thinking. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? How about getting this cordless mic, product of modern society, as we're living in it? You might as well take advantage of it. You don't have one. All right, say loudly so that I don't have. You say it loudly. Don't speak to me. Speak to those at the back of the room. What about the what?
Monetary. Benefits to maintain ourselves.
Money. What about money? How can we be fully surrendered if we're earning money? Fully surrendered means the brahmachari practices a fully surrendered life to the guru. If he's able to remain on that platform, then he doesn't need any money because doesn't need to get married. He remains a brahmachari. But if, as in most cases, he's not able to maintain a brahmachari life, then he goes home. And actually money is also, previously money was not an important consideration because the land produces everything, then what do you need money for? Money is only required if we're trading. So, nowadays we think that taking care of our physical needs, it's a great challenge. How to get enough food, clothing and shelter our family. In traditional cultures, it's not a problem. How to maintain a family is not a problem because the land produces everything. It's not a very great strain to consider how to get married and home is there. You say the boy lives in his father's home and the girl goes to her husband's home. So there's no need to worry about getting a separate home. Food is there. Food is produced from the land. And whatever else you need, everything is there.
Nowadays, you say it's a great challenge to maintain ourselves.
Yes.
Even in these situations, if we come out and surrender out here,
Surrender out where?
Vedic culture.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't have any such thing to enter into, so you can't anyway.
Then what?
Then what? Then we should establish these communities. You ready? Let's do it. The crying need, the pressing need of the hour. For many hours long past, many souls have come and gone.
You must get out of this 5 years.
Hmm?
We must take out of this 5 years of this?
Yes, it's required. It should be taken up. Vitally required. You'd like to get involved in this? Would you like, are you ready to get involved in this? Pioneering these kind of communities.
Yeah, that's what I'm here.
Alright, we'll speak about it more later. Not right now. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.